Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We may have had very heavy rain outdoors, but inside in the polytunnel, after some pretty warm conditions a few days ago, it needs a bit of water in here. It's a pity podcasts are not smelly sound, because I've got in the polytunnel now a range of different colours of column stocks. Oh, I do love those. Quite a lot of doubles and some singles too. They're a strain called Cats, coming from the States, and they bear the name of the man that bred them.
There is no better group of plants for flower power than forms of the shrubby protected.
Our thanks to this week's sponsor, Hayloft Plants Limited, Pershaw, Worcestershire. Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to exchange some news, views, a bit of seasonal advice, and hopefully answer some of your gardening quandaries on the way. Last week I told you we had some glorious weather with temperatures 110 degrees Fahrenheit in the Hydel greenhouses. Unfortunately, I like the heat. But it wasn't to last. Torrential rain for 2 days over the weekend. Goodness, it turned sweet pea flowers to mush. Branches of roses with open flowers were weighed down with water, and to make matters worse, there was a really cold wind. The forecast looks better over the next few days, and at least I'll be spared the 3 hours a day that was needed to keep plants watered outside. But, as I said earlier, need to keep on with the watering undercover, where plants do sop it up. It's difficult to get things done when you have that heavy rain, and when it's muddy underfoot, really it's better just to keep off and wait for some drying conditions. Wet soil will help us get the van load of summer flowering novelties that were delivered by Tim Johns after his cicada trials at Pershaw last week. We have a whole lot of the cicada novelties, including three new colours of Pechoa, that's a Petunia calabricara cross, called Beauty Cow, to plant. And there are some really eye-catching colours. They are a brilliant summer flowering bedding, weather resistant, just repeat flower and get bigger and bigger, pretty well to Christmas. And the modern fibrous rooting begonias just get bigger and bigger. I mean, first of all, there was Mr. Big from Benari, and then Megawatt was introduced from Pan American, and now the Viking series from Cicada. I'll have to look out some extra large pots for Viking Explorer. That's a really strong grower, but with a bit more of a lax habit, so it should be semi-pendular, I think the best description, you know, arching out over the pot sides. And it looks to me as if they'll make monster plants by the autumn, perhaps beating Cicada's other exciting novelty, Sun Patians. And here again they've increased the colour range. What's new? Well, it isn't just Cicada. The Horticultural Trades Association held their virtual plant show this week with over 60 new plants introduced. Pride of place and top prize went to Allium Lavender Bubbles. It's a herbaceous plant which just keeps on flowering. We're growing several and hope to have them at Chelsea in September. Actually, as I sit here, I've got a pot in front of me. They're just starting to flower. I'm dithering because I think it might be worth taking the flowers off one of the plants just to be sure they keep repeat flowering right through to September. But goodness, just this one plant in, a 3.5 litre pot with, I would think, 40 flowers coming out. I think that's going to be a winner, not just for the HTA virtual plant show, but also in gardens in coming years. Following on from our Rudbeckia trial last year, there are 6 new Rudbeckia Enchanted series introduced onto garden centres this summer. And here again we have plants on trial in Floral Fantasia, but have yet to see them come into flower. On the home front, I've been planting sweet corn, and I have 3 plants each of 2 new sweet corn cultivars bred for patio pots, and I'll be very interested to see how they fare. The first garden peas have been picked from a raised box made from recycled pallet wood, and the next crop to follow them will be a sowing of French beans. You know, June is still a reasonable time to be sowing French beans, and I'll also make a second sowing of runner beans, and that ensures a succession of pods well into the autumn. I'm very pleased to welcome our guest for interview today, Gary Coward Williams. Now, he's my boss, so I have to be a bit careful. He is editor of Amateur Gardening, a very popular weekly magazine. Now, Gary, you have considerable experience on magazines, monthlies and weeklies, but are a relatively recent arrival at Amateur Gardening over its 137 years, I think, of existence. Could I ask, are gardening readers different to other magazine readers?
Yes, Peter, they are, I think. I mean, I've got quite unique experience in weeklies in that I've edited 4 weeklies that were all launched in the Victorian period. Amateur Photographer, Cage and Avery Birds, and The Shooting Times. And all of those readerships are very, very different. I think what I've found particularly interesting about the amateur gardening audience, and I think this is about gardening itself, is that they're a very friendly and by and large happy bunch. Some of the other specialist titles that I've worked for, worked with, sometimes those kind of pastimes are fraught with all kinds of frustrations and problems. And whilst gardening has many problems, I think that the simple process of doing it seems to make people happier. So it's actually a very nice, friendly audience, and I've kind of really enjoyed that. And for the most part, they seem extremely happy with the magazine, whereas I've not always been used to having happy congratulatory letters in my previous posts.
Yes, previous magazines were a bit like the receptionist at the garage, eh? Unpleasant complaints coming one after the other. Whereas, of course, gardeners like to share their experiences, especially the good experiences.
Yeah, I think it's good and bad. I think that one of the things I pick up is, I mean, you know, talking to you and your extraordinarily experienced and knowledgeable gardener. And the message I've always got since I've come in, and it's actually 4 years I've been editor of Amateur Gardening, I think last May just gone, is that it doesn't matter how long you've been doing it. Nobody is an absolute expert. And so we're all going through this journey with varying degrees of knowledge. And of course, circumstances are constantly changing. So to have an arena where you can share your experiences and constantly learn, I think is very important. So it's a very, very giving kind of nurturing world that we're in, because that's kind of what gardeners do.
Now, at present, you have a bit of a theme going on the advice to gardeners on potting compost bags. I mean, that's a pretty much debated subject to present as we move across from peat-based to peat-free composts. Now, what's your worries there?
Well, I mean, just to give us a little story, I suppose, as you were saying, Peter, I'm fairly new to the gardening world, and I've been going through my own journey. And part of that journey is, I think, for all gardeners, there are certain plants and varieties that you particularly enjoy growing. And for me, it's been potatoes. And I've been on a potato journey for the last 4 years, which culminated in a fabulous series of crops last year with container potatoes. And so, but this year I decided to plant out a border with potatoes, which I hadn't done before. And I ended up with a number of seed potatoes left. And I thought, well, I'll have to put these in containers. There's nowhere else for them to go. And then whilst doing that, I thought, well, actually, why don't I have 6 containers with peat compost and 6 containers with peat free and see what happens. Now, this can't be a scientific test. I'm not a horticultural expert. Actually, what I'm doing is what a reader would do. It's what a normal gardening person would do to try and understand what the differences would be for them, for their gardening. And after about 3 weeks, I noticed that the peat free compost was retaining less moisture than the peat compost. And so then I went back to the packaging with the peat free to see, well, okay, what is it telling me about what I need to do that's different from using peat? And then this is where the penny dropped, and I realized that there is nothing on peat free packaging to actually tell you what you need to do that's any different to what you would do with peat. And I think this is quite important, because actually when the consumer who is now looking to make that change for whatever reason they wish to make it, that they'll buy peat free, and actually what they really need to know is, well, is there anything different they need to do? And the packaging isn't telling them that.
And I'm with you 100%. I've been using, obviously, peat-based compost and peat-free compost for over 40 years, and they certainly do need different watering regimes. Peat is a remarkable holder of water. You know, it will hold, I think, 12 times its own volume in water, something like that. But other materials, particularly things like composted bark, the water runs through them, and getting them really soaked is quite difficult. And the problem that I face is that as we make the change, manufacturers have to keep using different materials. And so even if you buy a set brand, those ingredients can change.
I think the concern for me is, certainly with the brand that I was using, that when I looked at the back of the packet, it was just full of slogans. You know, it almost these sort of slogans that were about their special formulations and how, you know, what was in them and everything. And I'm thinking, yeah, okay, that's fine. It's got this in it and it's got that in it, but I don't really know what that really means. They weren't specific about what the formulations were. And so it felt like the back of the bag was being used for advertising and promotional purposes rather than informational purposes. I did go into other bags in the market. I went into the garden centre close to me. They had a fantastic range of peat-free there. And again, all the other bags, you know, varying degrees of information on them, but not one single one said, if you're used to using peat compost, this is what you need to do to get an equal effect. And that is all they need to say, but none of them are saying it. And I think this is extremely important for the market. And it's something that we, as Amateur Gardening Magazine, will be working on to explain to our audience. And our news editor, Ruth Hayes, will be talking to all the major manufacturers to ask them that question, because it's an answer that isn't coming across on their packaging.
I look forward to reading those columns, and particularly the responses. Your readers are pretty vocal, aren't they? They'll let you know.
Yes, they will. And I think that there's been a lot of, dare I say, sort of one-sided comment by, you know, various television commentators about peat-free that have kind of perhaps given people a rather skewed position on peat. So there is a lot of passion out there to use peat-free. And I think that the producers have a duty of care to make this work and to give that information on the packaging, which they're not doing at the moment. So, yeah, I think it's very important because, you know, if it's the case that by 2024 we're going to have to use it whether we want to or not, you know, we need to know how to use it. Otherwise, it's really going to affect people's gardening.
One of the demands Gary, of a weekly magazine? I mean, there are a number of monthly magazines where the approach is quite different, isn't it? They sort of work almost a year ahead. You've got to be much more reactive to things.
I think that the glosses have a very different kind of audience and very different audience needs. With us, we're a weekly gardening magazine that is really founded on sort of practical hints and tips and step by step. So the front section of the magazine is all practical content, which is done by Ruth Hayes, our gardening editor. And that's all done in her own garden at home. This is what she's doing week by week. And in that sense, we're kind of replicating what the readers are doing. And so that then is like taking them on a journey. I think it's one of the things that people like about the weekly frequency, that every week the magazine comes through the door, you pick it up, what's Ruth up to? Oh, I should be doing that. Oh, I could do that. Yeah. Oh, that's an interesting idea. And then they go out and do it into the garden. In terms of production, yeah, I mean, weeklies are really tough, you know, because it is never ending. There's no break. On a monthly magazine, they used to get the missing week. You know, once you've gone to press, there was a week where not very much happened and people largely went down the pub. But with a weekly, it's a really tough cycle. And of course, in modern publishing, we have much smaller teams now than we used to have. When I took over Amateur Gardening, I think it had a staff of 8 or so, and there's now 4 of us.
Half.
Yeah, it's pretty tough.
The work hasn't halved, does it?
It never does, Peter, as you well know. But the weeklies are very special. The relationship with the audience is very different to a monthly, because it's something that arrives in your home every week and becomes a part of your life. One of the regular issues that I have is if the issue doesn't turn up, they write to me and say, you know, this week's AG hasn't turned up. And then I have to get customer services, send them another copy. And of course, the seeds, you know.
Well, yes, you mentioned the seeds. I mean, that's a pretty burning topic with Northern Ireland at present, isn't it?
Well, unfortunately, yes, Northern and Southern Ireland. So one of the things that the sort of fallout from Brexit has been, and we didn't know this until quite late in the day, we have had to stop putting cover-mounted seeds on copies going to Southern and Northern Ireland, essentially as part of the Brexit agreement. And what happened was, we were told that every week we would have to pay for a government inspector to come to an agreed premises and test the seeds before we'd be allowed to cover-mount them. And the costs of that were somewhere between £300 and £500 a time. So that would be a cost to us of something in the region of £20,000 to £25,000 a year, which just wasn't workable. I mean, if you bear in mind that AG is £1.95 an issue, and you get a free packet of seeds worth usually over £2 on that, you know, we're not making lots and lots of money. There isn't a lot of elbow room there. So that caused a lot of letters from Northern and Southern Ireland. And, you know, it was very sad. I answered all the letters, and actually they took it really well. We've had some lovely letters. I mean, Southern Ireland, I kind of understand, as we're not in the, you know, common market anymore. But Northern Ireland is a bit tough for me because, you know, in my opinion and in reality, you know, Northern Ireland is as much a part of Britain as Manchester or Cumbria or Devon. And I think it's
nonsense. There's nothing, Gary, to stop me putting a packet of seed in the post and sending it to a friend or relative in Northern Ireland, to the best of my knowledge.
No, and it's a problem for the trade, I understand, as well. I've had a lot of letters saying that, you know, some of the big people who sell seeds and plants are not able to send sending to Northern Ireland.
Which I'm very interested here, because I don't remember seeing anything in the trade press of what our trade associations are doing to support the seed packages in that respect. But to come back to more gentle, homely things, I noticed that in the last few weeks, you have a poem appearing in the reader's letters section.
Yeah, going back to this idea of the relationship with the audience and amateur gardening, I mean, it is the oldest gardening magazine in the world, and it is a unique product. And I'm very proud of the relationship that we have. I mean, we're printing 3 pages of genuine letters every single week, which I think you'd have to look very hard to find another magazine that's capable of doing that. So we did get the odd poem every now and again, and I would just put them in. And I had it in my mind for a while to think, well, maybe there's something in this. But I had one of those dry periods where no poems had turned up. So I just thought, right, I quickly wrote a poem myself, credited it to my mum.
I didn't realise that you were a poet in hiding.
Well, I didn't credit it to myself for very good reason, Peter. But I credited it to my mum and put it in and said, you know, this lovely letter from Mary Kelly in Ireland, which is my mum. And, you know, if you'd like to send a poem in, we'd love to hear from you. And we've actually since had over 60. And what's interesting about them is actually, some of them are extremely good, but also that they're, you know, they're the obvious thing to some degree, which is that sort of, you know, talking about, you know, romantically about plants and flowers and gardening. But actually, a lot of them are really quite personal about relationships between, you know, husband and wife, and about how they garden and how they work together, about how people have got through the pandemic through gardening. And it's been a real, I think a lot of it's been a real opening up of their souls. And part of it that I really like is, in a way, the audience has become the artist.
Oh, right.
Which I think is quite special.
Yes, indeed it is. Gary, with the weekly magazine, how do you keep it fresh? Or do you just, after a year or two, just recycle the stuff?
Do you know what, Peter? That's a really interesting question, because it's yes and no. I think that gardening's constantly evolving. So whilst it may seem similar questions and answers that are going through, actually gardening's changing all the time. Having said all of that, one of the benefits of our history of those 137 years is that actually we can bring back great gardening columnists and great gardening content from the past. Just recently, we've had a 10-part series from the late, great Percy Thrower, which we brought back from the early 1970s. And what's fascinating about that is that this was Percy's, I think, top 10 plants for almost any situation. So one week it'll be shrubs and the next week it'll be something else. And those choices that he made are still as relevant today as they were then. The audience can see the longevity and success of some of the plants that they're thinking of buying. So it's a yes and a no. I think it's a mixture of both. And it's about the job that we do to make sure that the mix is correct.
Now, I must just fit in, finally, a question about the readers sending in their gardening queries. And the great contributor you have that answers all of those questions, another old grey-haired dinosaur.
Yes, well, of course, you're talking about John Negus, and he's an institution, and what a lovely man. So John has been answering queries in the magazine for 45 years, which is quite something, and he must be the longest-serving Q&A person of any magazine, I would imagine, pretty much anywhere. And again, this is weekly. So what's remarkable about it is that anybody that sends their query in by email gets it answered by John that very day. And in that answer, John says that if they would like to talk about it in more detail, they are welcome to call him at home in the morning. And he gives his own personal telephone number.
You're joking.
No.
Goodness, what a commitment.
And I think that's an extraordinary thing, an extraordinary service. We probably don't shout about that quite enough.
Well, Gary, don't work him to death. What? Goodness, what? He'll never be off the phone.
I think John thoroughly enjoys it, and I think that in many ways, it you know, it's something that gives him a very good thing to be doing every day. But he's such a lovely man, and he's so upbeat. We all love to have him when he turns up in the office, because he puts a little bit of sunshine into everybody's life.
Well, I think you've put a little sunshine in our lives today, Gary. Thank you very much for joining us, and I hope you won't just see that as stroking your back too much to keep me employed.
There is no better group of plants for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla, producing single roots.
My tailpiece. A quote Winston Churchill is reported as saying, "The secret of success is to stagger from failure to failure without noticeable loss of enthusiasm." I know how he felt as I viewed 100 Scabious caucasius seedlings neatly planted in rows recently that had been thrashed by what looks like two young fox cubs having a whale of a time. Now I have to salvage what I can and build wire netting cages to keep them off. it does dampen your enthusiasm somewhat. But then the cages should have been built at the outset, I suppose. You learn by experience. Have a good week, and hope you'll find time to join us next week. Our thanks to this week's sponsor, Hayloft Plants Limited, Pershore, Worcestershire, to my producer, Rich Jarman, and of course to you for listening.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.